This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Welcome to Hive Mind. I'm Meg. I'm here with Eli. It's Friday. Hi, Eli. How are you?
Hello. I'm just fantastic. How are you?
I am great. What have you been watching?
Well, we should say we're 3 hours after the Kate Middleton cancer video dropped. So we're fresh off of that. And the discourse on this latest news is already at 100%.
Fill us in. I've had, work. So what's been...
As everyone in the world knows who has an internet connection, we've all been obsessively trying to figure out what's going on with the royal family lately, because the royal family has just put out baffling information for several weeks, months, about Kate Middleton, and people are wondering what's going on. And a lot of the PR disaster around it has been very funny. Unfortunately, Kate finally showed up today, put out a video and explained that they found cancer in her in January. And now she's going to undergo some preventative chemo, which I hope means that they think they got the cancer out and they're going to do like a light chemo round on her just to be for precaution. Anyway, the instant reaction of everybody is like, okay, how bad do we need to feel that we've all been laughing when like this poor woman has actually been dealing with like a really serious medical thing? And so the conversation is already, well, how much were we actually laughing at her versus laughing at the PR disaster, which was objectively terrible? Like, regardless of what was happening with her, the way they handled it from a PR standpoint was really bizarre. And so anyway, I think it's going to be interesting and probably obnoxious to see us all now fight with each other about who should be the most sorry about how funny we thought this all was. Is that
all right?
That feel accurate?
Thanks for filling me in. I have some lingering questions, like why the Photoshop photo? Maybe they Photoshop all their photos and we were just paying closer attention because we hadn't seen her in a while. Why the TMZ paparazzi snap at the Christmas market in March?
Yeah.
It's
weird. It's hoping, weird. But yeah. Poor
she's
woman.
Okay. I hope she recovers quickly.
Yeah.
Tell me what you've been watching.
Okay. We finally watched the Zac Efron film, The Iron Claw.
Oh.
And Meg Walter, this movie nearly ended my entire life.
Yeah.
So in this house, we support Zac Efron and everything that he does. And this film made me want to take Zac and move him into my house and just protect him so that nothing ever has to make him cry the way I saw him cry in this film. If you have not seen this, I highly recommend it. It's really phenomenal film. It's about what's the family's name? Van?
I can't remember.
I feel stupid for not knowing this. It's about that wrestling family who had the terrible misfortune of five of the six sons in this family. They were all professional wrestlers. Five of the six sons died in very tragic accidents, unrelated to each other, frankly. It's horrible. And big spoiler alert, Zac Efron is the son that ends up out surviving all of his brothers. And the ending of this film made me want to crawl in a hole forever. It is so sad. Mm-hmm. And Zac Efron sitting on the ground at a park sobbing because he used to be a brother and now he's not anymore. Like waterworks. Meg, I was like in a funk for like 2 days.
Yeah.
But he's so good in this movie. And I have been on the record for years and years as saying, you know, Zac Efron was always, he was always very pretty. He was my celebrity crush, but I was like, but I think like people don't realize that this guy is actually a super good actor. Like I would see him in things and be like, he is actually really good, but he's not really getting or taking roles in films that are all that serious. And so it was, I have felt like for years, like his career has been a little bit misdirected and a little bit of a waste. So I was super happy to see him in an A24 film that is really well made, really well acted. And I think that he's the best actor in the film. Like he's up against a lot of talent, and I still think that he's outperforming everybody. And so I was really happy about that.
I think that Meera Tierney, mm-hmm. I think that she was quietly the best performance of the film.
She is so good. And also she's like in her 60s. And for part of the film, she's playing like a 37-year-old woman. And it kind of works. It was like, yeah, she looks like my age, I guess.
Yeah, which is kind of terrifying.
She's one of those actresses that like, I feel like she doesn't show up all that often, but when she does, you're always like, oh yeah, her. Like,
she's,
I'm really
great.
Glad. Yeah.
News Radio, glad to see her again.
ER. Yeah.
ER. I even forgot about ER. Yeah, she's always good.
And then she was in that kind of bad Timothy Chalamet, Steve Carell movie.
I liked it. I feel like I'm the only one that liked it.
No. We talked about it on this podcast. I liked it as well. It just kind of felt, big parts of it felt like an after school special, but she was really good in that film.
She was really good in it. Yeah.
And, I think Timothy Chalamet was pretty good in that film. I think Steve Carell was not very good, and that's what made it start to feel like an after school special.
Remember when Steve Carell was like a dramatic actor for a hot minute?
We've talked about this so much, but I just think Steve Carell is such a talented comedy actor, and that is a fine thing to stay doing. Like, I just don't think he needs to be doing.
Yeah, not everybody needs to branch out, guys. Like, not everybody needs an Oscar.
No. And also we should give Oscars to people doing comedy.
Yes, exactly. I agree. What? So this is going to be a spoiler conversation, but so if you haven't seen The Iron Claw, plug your ears for a minute. What did you think of like the afterlife scene?
Wait, remind me this.
Where Jeremy Allen White is like by the dock and he sees his brothers.
Right. You tell me what you think. What was your
opinion? When they started doing it, I was like, oh no. But then like when the little boy steps out, I lost it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought it was like so successful in a way that I really didn't think they could pull it off. And I think it was really brave of them to do it.
I think, well, you know, this is an A24 thing. A24, that company is so good at taking the right risks. And I agree with you. I think it could have very easily not worked. I think that was the first time in the film I actually cried. And then the hardest cry was at the end at the park. But I think I liked it. I think it was kind of an interesting choice.
I did too. And I thought it worked. I'm glad you finally saw it. Do you agree it's too bad it came out so late that it didn't get any Oscar recognition?
Yeah. I would say it was, if it had been nominated for Best Picture, it probably would have landed for me somewhere in the upper half of the list.
Yeah.
It was really, really compelling. And it's a movie that, like, when I saw the previews initially, it was like, this is a movie that shouldn't work. Like, it's a film about pro wrestlers and they all look kind of weird and it's, you know, just an odd premise, but it's so well executed and so devastating. And the relationships between the brothers is so beautifully done that like by the end, you feel the devastation of his loss. That's like, these were the people, these were his people. And, you know, and now he doesn't have them anymore. The child actors at the very end are terrible, but the writing was so good and Zach was so good in that scene that I was like, I gave it a pass.
I didn't remember them being terrible, but I'm not as sensitive to that as you are.
Yeah, you like children more than I do, I think.
I do. Yeah, that's what it is. what else have you been watching?
All right, Survivor. Episode 4 this week. This season has been kind of weird.
Okay, for some reason, whatever night Survivor premiered, my social media timeline was so mad at one of the people.
Which one?
I don't know. Apparently she was like sulking.
This week?
Yeah.
Interesting. You must be on like misogyny Twitter because...
No, I'm on like gay man Twitter.
So the casting is really strange this season. And in particular, there was one man who, spoiler alert, if you're not caught up on Survivor, plug your ears. There was one man named Banu who he's an Indian.
That's who they were talking about.
That's a man, though.
Oh, OK.
Yeah. OK. OK. Then, yes, Meg, that was the conversation. That's why I said you must be on misogyny Twitter because everyone's only talking about Banu right now.
OK. OK. Makes sense.
Yeah. So he's this Indian immigrant to the United States. And I think some of what is going on with him is that there's a language barrier issue and he has a hard time understanding American like social cues and cultural, you know, whatever. And so he's been like a fish out of water, but he's also a super, super weird guy. And I think the worst Survivor player they have ever cast in 46 seasons.
Why?
Meg, okay, he has no strategy ability at all. He openly shares information with everyone constantly. So he keeps nothing to himself. He's extremely emotional and like up and down and 1 minute laughing and then the next minute sobbing. And in this most recent episode, literally at one point, on his knees, sobbing and begging one of the other players not to vote for him that night, like hysterically sobbing. And she's like, get up. I'm not talking to you if you're on your knees. We're not doing that. And she's just like, we're not doing this. We're not, get up, like calm down. And I mean, just the most bizarre guy. He kept saying, I'm not here to win $1 million. I'm here to win 1 million hearts. And everyone's what? Like, what does that even mean? Like what?
Like he's there for the fans?
I don't know, Meg. And then he's so upset that, you know, he was potentially going to get voted out and, you know, hysterical about that. And there's this whole montage where he's walking on the beach, like cursing God and like crying out to God for not helping him and giving him more miracles. And Meg, it's like, it's one of these things where, like, obviously he had to get a lot of screen time because we have not seen anybody this unhinged on Survivor, like maybe ever, but yeah, at least not for a long time. And so, like, he is kind of the story. But, like, I personally did not enjoy it because it was so cringy and so uncomfortable that I'm just like, I need this man to get off this season so that we can get back to, like, normal Survivor. He was so bizarre that in this most recent episode, they did something that I've only ever seen, I think, two other times in 46 seasons, which is they went to tribal council and then they didn't end up even voting because it was so obvious he was going home that Jeff was like, there's no point in like going through the process. Like, they all walk in and they're like, okay, Jeff's like, how are we feeling? And all of them are like, we're voting out Banu tonight. Like we have to, because he is a liability and like he's driving us crazy. We love you, but you like you shouldn't be here anymore. And he's, you know, upset. And Jeff's like, is there any point in even going and like doing the voting? And they're all like, no. And they're like, Banu, we are so sorry. We wish you no ill will, but like we cannot have you here anymore. You're a liability to us. And yeah. And tragically and sadly, he told them like as he was leaving about his backstory that he actually hadn't shared with anybody, which is that he grew up in like slumdog millionaire level Indian poverty. And so like, and you know, they all hug him and tell him they love him, but like they were just like, we can't, like you shouldn't be on Survivor.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, Meg, and this season he's not the only oddball. He was just like, he's taken all the oxygen, I think, but like there's some other weird dynamics going on. I am very curious to see where this goes. Part of the problem is They went to 90-minute episodes this season for the first time ever. So I think we're getting a lot more time with these people. So maybe we're just seeing more of the cracks. But I obviously will stick to the bitter end and I will continue to report.
Great. Love it.
What have you been watching?
Girls 5 Eva.
Yes.
Girls 5 Eva is a Tina Fey vehicle. And the first season, I was like, this feels a little like Western Family brand 30 Rock. Like, okay. It felt very similar, but like not being quite the same. Like, Sarah Bareilles felt like a stand in for Tina Fey and had like a lot of the same mannerisms and kind of jokes. Mm-hmm. And Wiki felt a lot like Jenna. Paula Pell has always just been like her own in a very fun way. Yeah. Busy Phillips, I'm like not super into the character she was doing. I feel like the second season, it really started to come together a lot more and okay. click better for me. So we're in the middle of season two. I think a new season just premiered on Netflix.
Yep.
Having a great time.
That's it. I don't know why, but we just discovered the existence of this show this week and watched the first two episodes and we're into it. And I will give any TV show that Tina Fey is behind a try. I'll give any of them a try. I don't think she's perfect at this, but I think that she has a good record and her sense of humor generally hits for me. And so like, I'm very happy to have a Tina Fey vehicle.
Yeah, me too. The premise of the show is it's a girl group from the early aughts that has decided to reunite minus one of their members who fell off an infinity pool when she was drunk. And they are all in their early 40s now and they have to revisit some of their lyrics, which are pretty problematic. Like, yeah. I make a great girlfriend because my dad's dead. There's one where it's like, we have small butts. People are always going to like this. Like, they're very funny. They poke a lot of fun at the way teen girl stars were treated in the early aughts, which was objectively terrible. Yeah. It's fun. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
Also, I watched the premiere of The Valley, which is a Vanderpump Rules spinoff with some of the worst characters who have ever been on the show. And I am so into it. They all have like families now and they're terrible and they hate each other and they seem miserable. They're living in the valley off of Hollywood. So they're not like coastal. They're in the valley, which is very much like, oh, you settled. That's kind of sad. I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I think those are the only two things I have to report. Okay. Other than we both watched The Irish Wish starring Lindsay Lohan on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
Eli, give me your thoughts.
I went into this film with very low expectations and it was worse than I thought it was going to be.
I was like, there's no, you know, like we watched this Falling for Christmas one and I was like, it was bad. I was mildly entertained the whole time. This was 1,000 times worse than that.
I was not entertained during this. And like, yeah, the Christmas one, we were laughing out loud throughout it because it was bad in that kind of way. This one, I was mostly just like scratching my head and frustrated because I was like, this is bad, but it's also just like pretty boring. And I really genuinely feel like they just used AI to write the script. Like it's the dialogue is so clunky and odd. And I wish I had written some of these down, but there were turns of phrases. The one that I remember is Lindsay Lohan is at one point says, will you try and text my mom and see where she is? She's not answering my phone. And it's like, do you mean she's not answering her phone? Why did you say my phone? But like that happens throughout the movie where like it's like the Wonka experience script. If you read any of that, where like the dialogue is just a little off where it's like, that's not quite the phrase that we say, but like, I understand what you're saying, but like, that's not quite it. And then the set looks like AI generated. Like it all is just, you know how like when you see AI generated photos and they're like, so colorful and so vibrant that it's like, this doesn't feel real. That's what the whole set feels like. Most of the cast, I'm like, I feel like the cast is AI generated. Like, nobody looks real. It's so weird.
Her friend, who is inexplicably British and is the one who's supposed, spoiler, is supposed to end up with Paul, the supposed love interest in this, I'm not convinced is a real person. Like, I'm truly not. I also need to know if the casting call was for the worst actors in the entire world. Aisha Curry is a great wag to follow. That woman cannot act to save her life. To save her life. Every line delivery hurt me, personally.
The priest felt like I was watching bad community theater. Not all community theater is bad. I felt like I was watching bad community theater when every time the priest was on screen. Like, he was clearly like, you could almost see him mouthing the other people's lines as they were talking. Okay, so real quick, the plot of this insane film is essentially Lindsay Lohan is a book editor and she works with this guy who's a famous writer, but she's like basically writing his books for him, but then he's getting all the credit and she's in love with him. And she is hoping that he's going to fall in love with her, but instead he falls in love with her childhood best friend and she's really upset about it. Long story short, she makes a wish at a tree, an Irish tree, I don't know, to a Catholic saint, some woman.
Some woman dressed in a head wrap.
Dressed in very weird, a very weird costume. She makes a wish.
Also, they're all kind of dressed like leprechauns the whole movie.
Yeah. So she makes a wish that he was instead marrying her. And the wish is granted. And so then Lindsay Lohan has to plan this wedding in Ireland with this guy that she's working with. But along the way, she falls in love with the photographer and she realizes that her best friend is in love with the man that she's supposed to marry now. And she feels bad about that. And so she ends up going to the wedding and explaining to everybody that she's not going through with it and that they're not right for each other. And then that leads to inexplicably a huge brawl where everyone gets into a giant physical fight. Mm-hmm. And then she realizes she's messed up everything. So she goes back to the tree and she undoes her wish. And then she gets to go find the photographer and everybody ends up in the right relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And
how many timeline body switch kinds of movies are we going to make Lindsay Lohan do?
This is a movie too, where like the science of this, of like the timeline does not make any sense. Cause like when she undoes the wish, she ends up like at her friend's wedding and, mm-hmm. and it's like, okay, but wait, so she's not going back in time. She's just like in present. It's just that now everything is how it should have been if things had progressed. But like,
you're moving like different like dimensions and also like physical locations.
Yeah.
At once.
Yeah.
So she goes from like the tree to her bed and it's not explained.
No. And I can't tell during that whole latter part of the movie, is she like walking around? She seems very surprised that her friend's marrying this guy. And she's like, oh, and I'm a bridesmaid. And it's like, okay, so she's basically living with amnesia at this point because all of the stuff that has led up to this reality, she's missed all of that. And so she's like walking around, like seeing people that she met in the other reality, but she doesn't know if they know that they've met. Like, it was very confusing.
So confusing. It was like, and usually I'm like, who cares? Like in About Time, I'm like, who cares? Because the movie's so good that I don't need the logistics of the time travel explained to me. But in this, I'm like, this is the only interesting thing about this movie. It is the only reason I'm even half watching this. And you're not even trying to make it make sense.
It's pretty, pretty bizarre. And I think maybe one of the most bizarre things about this movie is it should be a rom-com.
Yeah.
But there's not really much comedy in it. Not even, and I'm not saying bad comedy. There's not really much of an attempt at comedy. Like, it's pretty serious about what it's doing.
Yeah. Yes. Not a single likable person. Not someone where I'm like, oh, I'm rooting for this guy.
No.
Even like Paul's family, it was just like not entertaining at all. Like, they had opportunities to add like some fun side characters, and I swear they just like walked into a Chili's and said, who wants to be in a movie? A Chili's, one Chili's in America, one Chili's in London. And then they're like, but also the movie's in Ireland for some reason.
Yeah.
Why is Jane Seymour her mom? Why do they not tell us what's going on there?
Oh,
why is Jane Seymour in this movie?
Why is Jane Seymour in this? Is Jane not getting much work these days?
Isn't she like Kay Jewelers' one spokesperson?
I don't know. The butt and boobs jewelry open heart collection. Everyone in this movie looks airbrushed, which is, I think, maybe why it feels like none of them are real. And Ireland, I don't even know. I'm going back and forth on this. Ireland simultaneously looks gorgeous, but completely fake in it. And like, I've been to Ireland. I've been to the Cliffs of Moher, which is featured in this movie, and it is breathtaking. But it was like they like turned up the saturation on all the colors in this. So
like all of us on Instagram in 2013.
Yes. And I think they're genuinely filming the Cliffs of Moher, but it's like, but you've done something with the coloring and made them so vibrant that I'm like, I'm now not looking at a real thing. So like, this is Avatar. Like it really is almost like bad Avatar.
I mean, Avatar is bad Avatar. No offense to any Avatar fans out there.
Well, no, but Avatar is, I'm not a fan of Avatar, but like they put the effort in to do what they were doing very well.
Yeah.
And this is like the cheapo version of that. Like, that's what it looks like, is it's like trying to create a world that is as colorful and vibrant as Avatar, but with like really cheap software. I don't know how to explain it differently than that.
Yes, it is like the free Photoshop you can find online that people use when they're desperate, instead of like the Adobe suite. You know, it's very like, we have food at home when you want McDonald's, and the food at home is like a half a red pepper and one string cheese. Like, just this, I wanted this movie to be something, even if it was like laughably bad, you know, it would have been one thing, but this wasn't even like, there wasn't even that much to laugh with. It just felt like I was like being put through something.
Yeah. Yeah.
In a way I really didn't enjoy.
Two questions for you. One, rate the wedding dress for me.
The cool one that her grandma wore. I thought that was very cool. I was like, that is a cool wedding dress. 10
it's
out
really
of 10.
Unique. Really unique.
And she's like, okay, it's so ugly.
Number two, how rate Lindsay Lohan's performance.
Look, I am rooting for Lilo. Like, I hope that she succeeds. Maybe we find a different career. Maybe like influencer, do a Goop, you know? Like, a lot of people have found like, you know what, acting's a little too much for me. I'm going to just run a lifestyle brand, and that has worked out very well for them. Might I suggest a similar career path for Lindsay? What about you? What do
you know what career path I wish she had? I wish Lindsay Lohan could find a way to marry into the royal family. Huh?
There's got to be like a single cousin somewhere.
Yeah, but I want her in the main pack.
Want her in the main?
I wish there was a third brother that she could marry. Or, you know, I wish there was a third brother she could marry. Like, think of the content Lindsay Lohan would give us if she was a princess.
Yeah, like Fergie. Remember when Fergie was a princess and she was always getting in trouble?
Yeah.
That was the best.
In short, Hive Mind is rooting for Lindsay Lohan. We want her to succeed. Hi, Stan. Stan just popped in.
Stan just walked in. Stan didn't watch The Irish Wish with me, but I think he probably also would not have liked it. Stan has been, I forgot to report that one of the big media things that we've been doing in our family is playing Mario.
Oh, fun.
Stan's been playing a lot of Mario and he's getting pretty good at it.
Ooh, will you ask him if I can play with him sometime?
Can Eli play Mario with you sometime?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He said, okay.
Very cute.
Irish Wish, 0 out of 10. I hated every minute.
0 out of 10. Totally.
Are you
going to
see Dune this week? Are we going to talk Dune next week?
We are going to try so hard. It's the problem is it's 90 hours long.
So it is long. You have
to be
good.
You have to be really prepared for that, you know?
Yeah, just pee a lot before you go. I went pee in the middle of it and I didn't really miss anything. So
okay. That's good to
All
know.
Right. Thanks everybody. We'll be back next week. Bye.